Got a little sleep last night after the program, then got on a plane in Los Angeles and came straight to Austin, Texas. And the station, KLBJ, had a contest going for contestants to have dinner with me. And we had a number of people, a couple other talk show hosts here, Neil Bortz and Clark Howard. And we had dinner. It was a great time. And I met some great people from Austin, Texas, who were the winners. And they just listened to the program religiously. And they're listening now. So I wanted to thank all of them for just a great evening tonight. And the Talk Fest is tomorrow. So if you live in this greater area of Austin, Texas, come on out to the convention center. Now, in a moment, we'll come back to Linda Moulton Howe, where we will talk about the very strange UFO case over O'Hare International Airport in Chicago, get a little bit of her reaction to my interview with Doreen Crane, and then we'll take your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Linda, incredible couple weeks and a month or so with UFO reports. Of course, the episode, Charlotte, North Carolina, had an incredible sighting. Arkansas, because of an Air Force colonel, takes some incredible photographs, right, which the Air Force says were flares coming down on parachutes.
And it was absolutely such a viable or just an obvious lie when you compared photos of what those actual flares look like to those photos that he took.
Exactly.
There's no comparison.
And then the very strange story of the UFO over Chicago's O'Hare International Airport, witnessed by pilots, witnessed by airline employees, yet the FAA basically sweeps it under the old rug and says nothing about it.
Well, they can't sweep it under. They even went with United, remember, and acknowledged that there had been reports from employees, but it's very clear that the employees were told not to talk. But today, at Earth Files, I have a report with two images that have surfaced since January 23rd and one today. And I have emails. I'm working with AboveTopSecret.com and Mark Allen.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting some amazing emails from eyewitnesses. I'm going to be doing another interview tomorrow. We may have yet another image this weekend. And the fact that there are so many eyewitnesses, and the eyewitnesses are saying, George, that they saw people around them with cell phones taking pictures. So
yeah,
there's
lots of pictures.
Exactly.
Out there.
And they're beginning to emerge, and the people who are attacking, it just amazes me that people are trying to attack these two extraordinary images that have shown up. There have been digital experts that are at the top of their field who have looked at both of these images that are at earthfiles.com right now, and have said that they cannot find any evidence in the digital analysis that they've done that these images are anything in the hoax category. And along these lines, since it came up in the first hour, and I think that that story of Tappan, North Dakota with Evan is so important, that there are events happening, as you just went through a list, and there mm-hmm. are eyewitnesses. And the thing about it is that many people are so afraid of other people, of being ridiculed, that one of the things tonight that I would really like to do is to encourage people who were listening to the first hour, no matter where you live, that if you have ever had an encounter with any kind of entities or craft, as Evan Breeze has had on the Breeze Farm in Tappan, I would really appreciate hearing from you by email. I keep confidences if you want to remain anonymous, but if you want to go on the record, that's even better. And my email address is earthfiles@earthfiles.com. And I would very much like to hear from people who have had any encounters or experiences like Evans and the Breezes that you may not have talked about. And to that end, also, George, one of the things that's very clear is that in Tappan, North Dakota, there has been a focus on animals that has gone beyond the Breeze Farm, because On Tuesday, October 24th, which was more than a month after Evan's encounter with the entities dragging off the dead sow in the corral, a neighbor within 10 miles of the Breeze farm was absolutely stunned to find his dead prize sheep buck that he used for breeding. And he had been out and checked his sheep and that buck the night before October 24th, and everything was fine. But the next morning, that sheep buck was dead, and there was no signs of struggle. There was no blood. And the owner was so puzzled about this dead, wonderfully strong sheep that he asked a veterinarian to do a necropsy. And the vet opened up that animal and could not find anything wrong with the lungs, the heart, or the stomach. But that's when the veterinarian discovered that one testicle and one testicle only had been removed in a precise cut at the bottom of the scrotum. The testicle had been pulled out, had been excised straight across surgically. The veterinarian acknowledged this, and the official cause of death was put down as unexplained. And then, only a couple of weeks later, on December 5th, the big boar pig at the Breeze farm disappeared, and they have never found it. And we're talking in January. So the last strange event was in December, and nobody knows how this is going to continue to unfold in 2007, because it hasn't just affected the Breeze farm.
Strange story. Linda, you know, we had Peter Davenport on a week after the O'Hare story broke, and he talked about this donut-shaped hole that was left in the clouds. Then we had some eyewitness call us talking about that donut shape as well. This, to me, was a physical craft. It was something. I don't know if it was man-made or extraterrestrial, but it was something.
Well, I have emails now that I'm going to be adding to the it's quite extensive story that I have at Earth Files Now tomorrow, with permission, with emails, and doing another interview and hopefully getting another image. So this is an ongoing fluid story. I hope everybody will stay tuned to Earth Files as I keep updating this. And those hole punch clouds, in meteorology, there's been a term for them. It's always been considered a mystery. What is it that punches holes in clouds? Because there have been these photographs over a few decades. And at Earth Files, in my Chicago O'Hare report, I show some of the hole punch cloud photos that have been taken. And I raise the question, is it possible that this meteorological phenomena is directly related to exactly what at least a dozen people saw with their own eyes at Chicago O'Hare, saying that this egg-shaped object that's in the two images that we have so far, it's definitely egg-shaped and a pale color, people had said silvery gray, that it went straight up so fast that it, quote, punched a hole in the clouds, unquote. That's what the eyewitnesses reported, and that's what they, one of them told John Hillovich at the Chicago Tribune.
Right. Let's go to take some phone calls, Linda. As promised, we've got calls now with Linda Moulton Howe for the rest of the hour. First-time caller line, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, hello. This is Steve from Marshall, Wisconsin.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey. Yes. Around that time of the UFO report at O'Hare, there was also a local talk show here in Wisconsin here, and there was a priest that called in to comment, and he stated that he met somebody that said they could meditate and summon UFOs. So he said, oh, really? So the two of them went out to a field, and he said the person started doing something, and sure enough, you started to see a UFO craft coming.
Did he say who that was, Steve?
I can't remember who it was.
If I gave you the name, would you think? Would you remember it? Prophet Yahweh, by any chance?
No, it wasn't him.
All right.
No.
Okay.
And anyway, the craft was coming, and the priest he started saying exorcism prayers, and right away the craft started just jumping around erratically and just kind of ended the whole thing right there. And
well, there are some people who think that these are demonic.
Right, and I think if you also study a lot of the occult connection and the people that have been abducted, it seems that they lowered their natural barrier down or had a type of involvement with the occult, and it kind of sounds like a lot of like what Steve Quayle states.
But could I jump in here, please?
Yeah, go ahead, Linda.
Because it's been my experience that we're not dealing with something that falls into these sort of historic human categories at all. And in fact, in the Breeze case, here the 16-year-old falls to the corral, and there were entities in there, at least five, because the fifth one is the one that came up behind him. And whatever they were focused on the animal. And remember this odd bowing and kneeling, and what he got the impression that they were communicating, that they weren't there to focus on him, and that what we're dealing with is so foreign, so strange, that its relationship with humans trying to put what we're dealing with in boxes of human mythology and history, I think, is not correct, because I think that the nature of what has been dealing with this planet for a very long time appears to come in a lot of types with a lot of different agendas, but there is no focus that I know of that has any kind of fact and eyewitness involvement that these entities are in fact out trying to hurt humans. And I'm throwing that out not because I know the agenda, but I think that it's dangerous to talk about them in black and white boxes.
Linda, I had an opportunity yesterday to talk with Doreen Crane Doty, the mother of Dan Burrish, the former Area 51 microbiologist, maybe the current Area 51 microbiologist. She hasn't heard from him in 13 years.
Right.
I know you have been part of this story. You've investigated it for years. I'm told that Burrish may show up at a UFO conference in Nevada soon. I don't know. But what's your whole take on all this?
Well, the last time that I talked with Doreen Crane, I was on Coast, and it was last year with you.
Right,
and
I remember that.
I think I said on the air by then that I had come to the conclusion that the people who had associated themselves around Dan Burrish, specifically the woman who had been pushing a book and some others, that I frankly found that he was surrounded by people that certainly would not fall into the category of high credibility, but his story has been so confusing and complex over a long period of time. I know George Knapp, and I've known George for a long time, and George did a lot of investigations as a reporter in Las Vegas and came to the conclusion that everything was bogus. In my efforts to try to confirm some things about Burrish's background, such as his gift as a young person with microbiology, or at least a tremendous interest in things of a microbiology nature, I certainly was able to confirm that. I certainly was able to confirm that he had spent time in England. There were many parts of his life and story that I was able to confirm, but there are a lot of confusing holes. And having talked with him when we originally did Coast and the interviews, I think it goes back, I think it's only 3 years ago. At the time, he was allegedly still linked into some kind of microbiology lab work on this issue of extraterrestrial biological entities having some kind of a physical problem. And our government, even though they are denying that there is any such thing, that our government has been trying to help them. Again, an issue of survival, an issue in which there is a problem that may or may not relate to why animals are taken from the planet in such numbers. But he talked to people in interviews on videotape and audio tape. And some of those interviews were shared with people who were professional microbiologists. And again, it was a mixed response. Some microbiologists thought that he seemed to have a serious knowledge, and others doubted it. So I would say that as we speak, past midnight, going into January of 2007.
What a fast year already.
That the story on Burrish is as muddy and murky and confusing as it has ever been. And maybe at the center of the smoke and the confusion and the murk is a person who actually had some kind of, we'll call it laboratory assignment having to do with extraterrestrial biological entities. But he can't prove it. Doreen Crane cannot prove it. John Crane cannot prove it. And none of the people who surrounded themselves around Dan Burrish can prove it. And therefore, it is another one of those unprovable, almost becoming urban mythology.
All right, back to the phones we go. East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on with Linda Moulton Howe. Hi there. Good morning.
Hi, this is Tina from Decatur, Illinois.
Hi, Tina. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. I was an experiencer as a child on the farm not far from here back in the 60s. It was a daytime sighting. And I also have Morgellons. Is there a connection between Morgellons and UFO experiencers?
Has anybody ever put that together, Linda?
No, not to my knowledge. And right now, Morgellons is such a zebra, if you know what I mean, in the medical community. It's just, it is so bizarre, and nobody knows exactly which direction to go with research. I do think that it's significant that the Centers for Disease Control finally has a panel that's trying to study it. But if right now, in this current year, that we cannot, that there is no medical evidence of a link and what's behind it, how would you ever make a link to some other phenomena? They need to understand it a lot more.
I understand. And I don't have a computer right at the moment. Mine's broke. But I would love to talk to you about my experiences. I've had quite a few and up close daytime, you know.
Well, when you get it going.
Pardon?
How do you want her to contact you, by phone, Linda, or wait for her email to work?
Well, I'll tell you, when if you don't have access to email, do what a lot of people do on their own anyway, and that is write me a letter, and if you have drawings or photos, and send it to Linda Howe at Post Office Box 21843, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 8-7-1-5-4.
Super. Let's go to our first time caller line. You're on the air with us with Linda Moulton Howe. Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Is that me?
Yes, sure is.
I would like to say thank you very much for what you guys do. Linda, amazing what you go to the extent that you go to. I was sitting in my backyard. I live in Wisconsin. It was the day John Edwards came to do a promo for his promotion here in our town. It was there were black helicopters flying around our city. If you know where Racine, Wisconsin is, it's small town in between Milwaukee and Chicago, actually blending together.
They sponsored a baseball team and a league of their own, right?
Yeah, absolutely right. I'm disabled. I had a friend over helping me cut the back grass in my backyard. I was unable to attend the Edwards campaign, and however, my fiance did. We're in my backyard. Several helicopters flew around. They were obviously patrolling the area. There were contrails that were existing that did not exist earlier in the day. I watched a hole punching, as you guys described, through the clouds. I pointed it out to my friend. He saw it. We also experienced a rainbow kind of experience through our eyes.
Yeah, was it a disc or was it us?
No, I'm totally serious here now.
Was it three-dimensional?
It looked like Swiss cheese through these clouds.
No, I know, but who do you think did it, sir? Did we do it, or was there some kind of extraterrestrial disc there?
I don't know. There was not. However, we looked up and saw this, and I pointed it out.
All right. Okay, we got to run. We'll be back. Well, first of all, I want to thank all of you who listen to Coast, those of you on your favorite radio stations in North America, Streamlink members, Coast Riders that you are, XM Satellite, and then the various chat rooms all around the country, NighthawkZone.com. Hello, folks, headed up by Bad Boy, Captain Beyond's Imaginative Worlds, the Fantastic Forum Pirates with Shirley Pal there, Into Infinity, The Frog Forum, National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, Yahoo Chats, and some more that I left back on my desk in Los Angeles, so I don't have all the different kinds of chat rooms. Well, I'll get that in a couple weeks when I get back there. I want to give out a couple more books. You know, we did that on our last little fast blast, quickie little quiz, and we gave out about 15-16 books, and I think Tommy finally mailed them out yesterday. I've got four more books I want to give out in 2 weeks when I get back to Los Angeles. If you fast blast me with the name of the movie that this slogan was in. Now, Tommy, come over here for a second. He's up here with me for the Talk Fest tomorrow. And I'm not going to tell you the name of the movie. You have to fast blast me. But the first one, the first person who knows this movie, you will get the books, the four books. This is just spur of the moment. Tommy didn't even know we were going to do this. We just did it. So go ahead. Give it to us.
Yes, that is The Password.
All right. Now, if you know the name of the movie that was in, you'll get the four books. I'll be back in a moment. Linda Moulton Howe, our guest on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Mark from Philadelphia, he gets it. Eyes wide shut. We'll send you four books when I get back to Los Angeles, Mark, in a couple weeks. Okay, just wait it out just a little bit. Linda Moulton Howe, our guest. We're going to take your phone calls as well. Linda, by the way, your website, is it open again? I think we slammed it earlier.
I haven't had any trouble going to it.
I have, but it's working now.
Are you able to go?
I can get there now. I think every time we mention it, you get that influx of millions of people. And then,
well,
and then
I hope so. There's a lot there. And I have started Earth Files podcast for the last 4 or 5 weeks. And now this Earth Files podcast is up there with a link that does include a little bit of the hypnosis session with Evan. So I hope everybody listening we'll start looking at Earth Files and listening to Earth Files podcast because we're doing images and audio.
Any conferences coming up where we might want you to cover it for us?
Well, I think one of the best in the United States is Lou Farish's in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. It is, I believe it's the second weekend in April this year. It is one of the best. For those of you listening who have not been there, it is held at a conference center so that we all stay in the same place. Beautiful conference facilities in this Victorian town, Eureka Springs, with gorgeous Victorian historic category kinds of houses. And we all are in the same place. There's a pool and a jacuzzi and great places to eat. And we have a conference down in this beautiful conference center. And every year, I think this is the 19th year Lou Farish has done this, and it is always a place where I learn a lot. And I've been a speaker there, I think, every year except one or two, and it is so fun to go to. And I'm going to have at Earth Files on the headlines page a link to Lou's website for signing up in next week. So for people listening, you can go to Earth Files, and I'll have the link to go to registration. That is one of the ones coming up in April that I think is really terrific.
All right, let's go back to the phones now. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast with us, and Linda Moulton Howe. Hi there.
Hey there.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Forestville, California.
Okay, sir, go ahead.
1350 a.m. Yeah, hey, I have been studying this phenomenon for some time myself because I believe I had contact with these beings from wherever. And interesting question I have is in the Betty Adrason story and several others, they were talking about some of these smaller entities being inanimate at first, maybe folded up and actually put into like plastic packaging and things of that nature. And
yes, I'm very familiar with that. I think that's one of the best cases to bring up, the Betty Andreessen case that Raymond Fowler investigated. And I believe now that there have been 4 or 5 books done on that case. She had remarkable graphic illustration skills. And for people listening who want to see one of the most in-depth illustrated human abduction cases, it is called The Andreessen Affair, and there was a Volume 1, then a Volume 2, then The Watchers, Volume 1, and The Watchers, Volume 2. All 4 books are equally important. And then Ray Fowler, I believe, did a 5th one looking back over that case. And the part you're bringing up always has fascinated me because it has come up in some other cases that I investigated when I was in Philadelphia. And this was a New York case separate from Betty Andreessen. It was the same thing, that the small gray things were found in fold-up plastic bags. And this reinforced the idea that they are, in fact, some kind of a biological android that we don't understand, programmed to do work, and that they are totally separate from the major intelligence that makes them, uses them. And that when we say, what is the agenda of these different types on this planet, since most humans and animals are interacting with the small androids, what are the main intelligences? What are their agendas? And could some of them, as has been suggested in some of the abduction syndromes, even be from some other dimensional realm? That's how complicated all of this is.
Good for you, Linda. First-time caller line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi. This is Sarah from Hilo.
Hi. Sarah, go ahead.
Hi. I have a question about 12 years ago, I was reading this book called Ringers of the Dawn by Barbara Marciniak, and she kept talking about in the book that I guess she was channeling an entity and that as you read this, we know who you are, and I started to get kind of spooked about the book, and so I actually threw it away. I was driving cross-country with my boyfriend at the time, and I threw it away, and then later on that night, it was probably around 2 or 3 in the morning, we needed a place to crash. We were driving in our camper, and we found this old, probably logging road or some kind of road in western Tennessee in the mountains, and we went way up that road and settled into some little nook in the forest, and we're just totally exhausted, and it was completely dark and quiet, and started to fall asleep. And the next thing I knew, and this is why I'm calling, is because there was this light, and I just heard other people on the program talking about this light, and this quality of light is what, it was almost like being in a full-lit parking lot or in a gas station or something. There was no noise, and it was just in all of the windows of the van, and that's all I remember. And then the next morning we woke up, and I think it wasn't even until about lunchtime that we even brought it up with each other and said, hey, did you see that light? And he said, yeah, I did. And then we didn't even talk about it, and I've never even really talked about it since. And I just had the idea to call and see if there is any phenomenon around that book or if the quality of light, if in anyone's experience, if people have seen the light and then don't have any other memory of that. Is this something I should maybe even poke around into? Or, you know, I've never had anything before or since happen, but I just wonder about that.
Loss of memory is common, Linda, isn't it?
These are excellent questions that you are posing. And one of the things, before I just address a few of your details, is if you have access to a computer and you could communicate to me your name and address and phone number, I would very much like to talk with you. And I'm at earthfiles@earthfiles.com.
Okay, yeah, I wrote it down before.
Okay, and so now you and I will talk in some detail, but let me just address a couple of things. It sounds as if the car was moving and the light suddenly was surrounding you.
No, we were parked in way up in a very remote mountain area. And I'm sure it was like a logging road. And it was around 2 or 3 in the morning, and like this really, this gas station quality light flooded the windows, and it was so bright, and there was no noise, and we didn't even investigate it. That's what strikes me now. I'm sure now I would get out of the car and say, who's there? Or, but we just, that's all we remember.
Well, there was just recently, just in the past week, I was talking with another individual, another missing time case, and the last memory that they had was an object in the sky that had little tiny lights all over it. Now, the dimensions I'm going to give you are bigger than normal, but they certainly are not out of the paradigm of what people have described. This person is very, very clear. This happened at age 16, haunted them their whole life.
Mm-hmm.
That two girls, and the object was 30 to 40 feet above them based on the trees, and the object itself had floors to it, and they estimated if you were looking at a hotel, it would be four stories high.
Mm-hmm.
And that the layers of the object were like mirrored windows, but not shiny silver, but black, like reflecting black,
mm-hmm.
with thousands and thousands of little lights all over this. Think of Spielberg's Encounter movie.
Right.
But coming down from the middle, the center, above them, they said was the strangest light because it looked like daylight.
Mm-hmm.
In the night,
right?
Completely different from the other light, and I have heard that so often.
Right.
So that's one issue, and the other is the silence in people. I think that I hear this as much as anything else. I don't know why we didn't talk about it at the time.
Right. Yeah.
And what that means, I mean, you have to conclude that there has to be some kind of mind manipulation.
Right. Well, I guess another question would be, can they, if I were to go into some sort of hypnosis, I mean, this was about 12 years ago, is there a time frame for these types of things? Or do people, I mean, is it even recommended to even dabble around? And, you know, I've never really pursued it or even talked about it before. It's just a light.
Sometimes it's better to just leave it alone,
right?
As it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one thing that when we talk at some point, we could talk about that further.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. I appreciate you being in the program. Where's your little baby in the background as well? Thank you. Let's go next. That was cute. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
How you doing?
Good, sir. Where are you calling from?
Ohio.
All right, take it away.
I just heard the Linda say earlier about, you know, if anybody had any experience with the types of craft she was talking about.
Right.
This happened about 20 years ago, I'm going to say. Well, it was 1987. In fact, it was in June. It has been written up in Fate magazine and everything, but anyway, what I seen, there was a triangle-shaped craft that flew probably less than 30 feet over my head. And it's funny, you were just talking to that woman there about the lights. As the thing approached me, the lights on the front of it appeared to, the only thing I can explain them to be like was kind of like the stadium lights in a football field. But once it got over me, it had several different lights underneath it and what have you. And what was weird was it was in June, July, summertime in the country in Ohio. And, I mean, it was absolutely quiet. You didn't hear any crickets, no dogs or anything around. And after the fact, it seems to me that there was a period of time missing, and I'm recollecting by what was on the TV at the time. And then when it was all over with, what was on the TV, and then looking in the TV guide at the time, it just didn't jive. And I had, soon thereafter, I had gotten it's a mysterious mark that's on my leg that's there to this day.
Is it like a scoop mark or a triangle?
Well, it's really kind of like a circle. The only thing I can say, it looks like, I don't know if you've ever been burnt with a cigarette, but what that looks like, only it's kind of pinkish, brownish, but it's been there forever.
Well, could I ask you, after this event that you remember consciously in your life up to this day, have you ever had a vivid dream in which you thought you were in something that was foreign, alien, with entities?
No, not really. I often think about it every now and then, and bless this show. I found this show or this program, and it's kind of sparking up some memories and getting me back into the investigating, because I kept running into walls. The experience that I did have at the same time when it was written up, I think it's the October issue of 1988 Fate magazine. There was a professor or a teacher from Ohio State.
It was probably Alan Hynek.
No, his name is his last name was DiCenzo, I think. Now, when all this was going on, and I got into the fact that there was, you know, it just seemed like a lapse of time. I had called information. This is kind of strange, but I had called information for Manhattan because that's where Bud Hopkins was living at the time.
Right, right.
And I got his phone number, and it was really, really odd because he answered the phone, and when I talked to him, he said, "This is weird because the phone number that I got, he never answers. But for some reason or another, he answered it that day."
Huh.
And he also had directed the same story to, I don't remember the woman's name, but she was in Arkansas at the time doing some follow-up on some other sightings and what have you.
You sure it wasn't Linda? It might have been
you, Linda. No, it wasn't me in Arkansas. I'm not sure which investigator, but you know that one of the things you're just describing is something that definitely is described and discussed in the UFO phenomena, the crop circle mystery, and that is synchronicity. The people who seem to be affected by the phenomena also find that these strange, what we would otherwise call coincidences, begin happening and continue to happen in their life.
Okay, thanks for that call. Let's go to another wild card line. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing fine. Got a couple minutes for you, and then we've got to run.
Okay, well, actually a few quick things. I'm psychic, clairvoyant, and clairaudient.
And that means what's going on?
Well, I emailed you, George, maybe about a month and a half ago. I'm hearing footsteps on the roof, several.
I remember that. Okay. And then I subsequently had some phone calls from people who are hearing strange thuds and footprints on the roof. And Santa Claus aside, because I think that was around the Christmas period when you sent that to me, a little before that.
No. This is different because I have other people.
Could I jump in here for just a second, Linda, because we only have 40 seconds left.
But one of the important details in Whitley Strieber's experience in Accord, New York, when he was having all those interactions with apparently small gray beings there, is that there would be this like rain on the roof, and there would be no rain. They would go outside, and they'd go back in, and it would sound just like rain, hard, heavy hail or rain on the roof. And that has been described also in other human abduction syndromes, raising the issue of what is it that interacts with our physical surroundings by something that we cannot see, and we only can perceive the effects of whatever is being done with energy.
Linda, thanks so much for spending a couple hours with us. Boy, they just zoomed by, didn't they?
Yes, they did. It was fun. I look forward to the next time we do this.
Absolutely. That's Linda Moulton Howe. Now, in a moment, Alex Jones joins us on Coast to Coast AM.